struggled through
I
this year.
I have never had so many wrong, Coach.
Well, I think we both end up sometimes making picks with maybe our heart a little more than our brain. And, you know, it's what's funny, second year in a row, my five-year-old son's championship winner is still alive in the Final Four, and mine's not. He had Syracuse last year. He has Oregon this year. I had UCLA this year. I had Michigan State last year. So it shows you that experience doesn't necessarily equate knowledge when it comes to this tournament.
Well, it really seems like the more I study, the worse my predictions get.
Was it that way in school?
I was going to say, that's the way I live my life.
Yeah. It is.
That was the excuse, Coach.
You think a little too much. You know, yes. It's like just looking at, just take the Kansas-Oregon game, for example. Two teams that had scored a lot of points coming into their game, and I'm in a text group, obviously, a bunch of basketball guys. We're talking about the game, and I'm like, I think this game could be really high scoring. This could be a really high scoring game, and I think it was 2-4, 5 minutes into the game. 4-2, 5 minutes into the game. Like, I don't know anything. it's a difficult thing to predict, and but we have some great teams and some great storylines. I think three first-time Final Four coaches with Frank Martin, Mark Few, Dana Altman. Dana, who is your college teammate, right?
Yes, sir. And he's going to hate me because I haven't gone with him.
Yeah.
But when you told me, and I agreed with you, when they lost that the key guy in their team, I think it actually brought them together.
Well, Jordan Bell stepped up in his absence, and it does simplify some things. And, the way he played in that last game was phenomenal. And they have three really high-level guards with Dorsey, Benson, and Pritchard. And then Dylan Brooks has been phenomenal. And, what Coach Altman's done there has been tremendous. And to have them playing the way they are. And Casey Benson, who I'm actually really good friends with his older brother, TJ, who's an assistant at Grand Canyon, getting to play back home in Phoenix. It's a pretty neat story.
Yes, sir. Well, the way Kansas was running and they were playing so good, Coach, I really didn't think Oregon could stay with them. And obviously I was wrong. But I did that same thing when I picked Michigan because of what they had been through, some adversity with that plane crash, and brought them together, unity. Adversity makes you stronger. I went with all those coaching cliches, and again, I was wrong.
Well, I think it's just one game, and we've talked about it before, like one game doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate to the next game. And that Michigan-Oregon game was a great game. It came down to the end, and then Kansas, who, if you looked at the first three games, was playing as well as anybody, and what they did to Purdue in the Sweet 16.
Well, that's what, yes.
And then they ran into an Oregon team. And, it's really just – that's what makes the tournament great, single elimination. The best team doesn't always advance. That's the
– that's what makes it the great – a great thing.
And you have some underdog stories still alive, but a lot of good basketball left to be played.
Well, South Carolina, number 7 seed, I didn't even pick them in the opening round, Coach. I went with Marquette. That's how bad I've been this year.
I mean, they've really bought in defensively. Thornwell, who was the player of the year in the SEC, tremendous tournament. Frank Martin, which is just a great story.
Isn't it?
His whole, he started as a high school coach and has worked his way up and demands a lot of his players, a little bit of an old school coach.
That's what I like of him in today's
game.
A couple of my players said I remind them of them, so I had to go check out ESPN and say, was that a compliment or were they mad at me?
Were you that intense?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You would not have liked. I was very much of a bad sport.
Yeah. Well, he has some qualities to him,
Being a bouncer.
He was a bouncer. He worked at a Dairy Queen. He started his coaching in high school. He didn't know if he's ever going to get that opportunity, ended up, grinding it out, and now he's in the Final Four at South Carolina, which is the first time their school's ever been there.
Great story.
And, it's a guy you would always want to root for. Yes. And then you have Mark Few at Gonzaga, who applied for his high school. So he, graduates from high school, graduates from college, decides he wants to get into coaching, applies at his high school that he went to, and they said, we just don't think you're quite ready to be a coach yet. doesn't get that job, and now he's got Gonzaga in the Final Four.
And I think you think they're going to win it all.
That would be my pick to win it all, yes. And then, Dana Altman, he was a junior college coach, ended up going to Kansas State with Mitch Richmond.
Was that before or after Creighton?
Before Creighton. Okay. So he was a junior.
eventually won it. And I don't understand why the guy from Wisconsin didn't just slam it and get it over with, but he was there. I wasn't. It's easy from the TV, from the recliner.
Yeah, I mean, well, Barry had a great block. It was a great block.
It was one of the that was the reason they won.
Yeah, and, you know, Wisconsin hit the three to send it to the overtime. And, you know, and that's the big thing. You see a lot of last-second threes. You saw it in the Kentucky-North Carolina game.
Wow, what a game.
Yeah, which they ended up going the other way, and North Carolina made it. But, you know, the foul, do you foul there? You know, yes. I think you foul every time, no matter what, under 7 seconds, if you have a three-point lead. Because it takes a lot of things to go wrong for you not to, to win. Whereas, like, but, you know, a lot of the coaches are choosing to play it out in this tournament, and you've seen a lot of last-second threes.
Well, North Carolina had the same situation, and Jackson, I thought he might have even walked. He let the defender go by him, and then he put it in.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And then there was another situation. I don't know what game it was. I'm trying to find out to where I thought there was walking on a full court pass. You remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
The guy caught it and took 4 steps, mm-hmm. and the official was right there.
That was a South Carolina game.
It was a South Carolina game. Okay.
Press was set up, and then they threw it the length of the court, and he caught it and took a couple steps underneath the basket, and then he threw it out, and they were fouled.
Yes, that's the way it happened. But that's one thing I wouldn't want to be, Coach. There's actually two things, a weatherman or official.
Neither's right very often.
Right.
I mean, if you're an official, you're wrong with
50% of the time.
Yeah, half the people in the building disagree with you. if the fans are split 50-50, half the people think it's the wrong call.
Well, with this intensity, it's more than just disagree with you. They land up hating you.
Well, the other half think it's about time.
Yes, you get on their Christmas list.
Yeah, like I don't know if I've ever told an official, great call, but I've said it's about time. Or you're wrong. There's no right. It's kind of like being a husband sometimes.
Okay, there you go. Good analogy. And we get Angie agreeing with us. And you're only right when they let you be right?
Exactly.
Okay, good. I represent that comment. Mm-hmm. But I got the pleasure of watching you coach. I like that. Anyway, as a broadcaster, I'm supposed to be calling the game, but I watch the coaches because that's what I love to do. And you always handled yourself a lot better than I would have.
Yeah, thank you.
Professionally.
Thank you. I don't feel that way sometimes. You know, a lot of times I feel like...
Isn't it hard to stay that way?
Yeah, I mean, what's hard in our environments is it just depends. Like, you know, if you're in, you can't have the same demeanor in a sold out, loud, like if you're coaching in the pit and you're the head coach at New Mexico and you're playing UNLV and it's sold out and it's for the conference championship, you can be pretty intense. But if you're in a sparsely populated gym in the middle of Colorado and there's 500 people there, you can't have quite the same intensity because it's just there's not as much noise. The noise drowns you out. So
you could be talking to your assistant and the official can hear you.
Yeah, so you have to be cognizant of your environment. And I think that's something that it took me a while to learn, you know, because it's hard. Because, you know, if you're an official and it's a quiet gym and there's a coach over there yelling your name all night, it gets a little old. You know, for me, it's just I think officials do the best job they can. You know, you kind of have an unfortunate thing going on right now with John Higgins, who's a great official. You know, he officiated the Kentucky game and, you know, death threats on his Facebook page for his company. And, you know, a lot of these guys have, you know, they have real jobs outside of being an official. And,
but they're human. They're going to make mistakes.
Absolutely. That's part of the game.
Okay, that's part of the fun of the game. Nobody will admit it.
Vern Harris, who's the commissioner of our officials in the RMAC, and he's one of the best officials in America, could be in the Final Four. I mean, he's a Final Four level official, and he oversees our officials. You know, just high integrity. You know, you can always call. You know, there's a lot of Monday morning phone calls in coaching where you're calling a commissioner and asking for an explanation or you're asking for a clarification. Because so many times it happens in the spur of the moment and your emotion is involved. And, you know, there's been, I mean, I can't count how many times that I've gone back and watched the game film and be like, yeah, I was wrong. Like, that was a pretty good call.
Isn't it amazing?
But it's angles. It's the angle that you have. You know, like we as fans only have one viewpoint.
Right.
As coaches, we only have one viewpoint. Officials, we only have one viewpoint. So, like, in one play, there could be a lot of different opinions on where the contact was. Was it initiated? What, who did it go out on? And, you know, we expect perfection. And then when you're watching it on TV and they slow it down, you know, and everything looks so obvious from your couch.
Yes.
For coaching and officiating.
time of the year.
But Jordan Bell has stepped up, and he was the Jordan Bell was a player of the region, who was a, kind of an under-recruited guy out of Long Beach. You know, he was going around with he was making the L sign after the win against Kansas. I think a lot of Kansas fans thought he was saying loser, but he was really saying Long Beach. So,
okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
But, you know, they're just playing, at a very high level, and, you can't be happier for a guy like Dan Altman, who, you know, junior college coach, worked his way up, was at Creighton for a long time, won there. He's won at every stop, played here in the state of New Mexico at Eastern, and, just a great coach, and I'm happy to see him in the Final Four.
I really am thrilled for him. I wish him the best of luck, but I'm not going to pick him again. I'm going to go with North Carolina. But the way they – you already mentioned it. The way they Kansas is taking care of Purdue, and then they were on such a roll that Oregon, they just didn't beat them. They beat them handily.
Yeah, it started the first play of the game, you know, when they drive into the paint and the shot sent out. You know, Bell blocked the shot to start. And Kansas, who had been starting a little bit slow, you know, I think they ended up scoring 2 points in the first 4 or 5 minutes. We talked about it earlier. You had two teams that were scoring a lot coming in, and it ended up being a defensive battle to start. But Oregon's really, really good. I mean, they're very well put together. They have three primary ball handlers. I mean, just a really smart team, and I like them. I like them a lot. I think they're right up there in terms of the teams are made.
And this is the team your son picked early on.
My 5-year-old son, yeah. He had Oregon. I mean, he has an Oregon shirt. We have some friends that are Oregon alums. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where that came from, but he's 2 years in a row. He's beat me. So
I think I'm going to go visit him next year before bracketology.
Yeah, at least we know his pick's good for the Final Four.
2 years in a row.
Yes.
Anyway, it's going to be Oregon Ducks versus North Carolina Tar Heels. And in that matchup, Coach, what is it going to take for Oregon? Obviously, they're going to be the underdog. What do you think that's going to take for Oregon to upset or beat North Carolina? Right at this point, I don't see no upsets.
No, they're all very good. I mean, I think if South Carolina was to win it all, that would be okay. A little bit of an upset.
Agree with you.
But if in this game, you know, two very good teams, I think for Oregon, I think the key is just going to be, you know, the way their efficiency. They're so efficient offensively; they don't turn it over. Dorsey, you know, is a big key. Like, how is Carolina going to control Dorsey on the perimeter? Pritchard and Benson are almost interchangeable. They're kind of twins. Very smart, just really good, solid point guards, and they don't make mistakes. So can North Carolina bother them a little bit? Can they contain Dorsey? Can Oregon continue to have a presence on the backboard? You know, I think that's a key. The interior for Oregon would be a key. But I like Oregon. I think Oregon wins this game.
Well, I'm going to North Carolina, the Tar Heels, ACC, my son's favorite team. It's hard to do that since I'm for Duke, and these are their arch rivals. They're not just normal arch rivals. This is bitter. But I'm going to go with them because I do see them as the better all-around team, the more experienced team. The head coach has been there, which in this case usually doesn't mean a thing, because right now I think you do need a little bit of luck, Coach.
Yeah, it takes that. You have to get some breaks. Some things have to go your way. But, yeah, I mean, North Carolina is playing very well. I mean, and as I said, maybe the most talented team left. You know, I'm going with the Ducks, and I'm going with the Zags.
Okay, in that game, your bracket, you have Gonzaga versus Oregon. Who's going to win that one?
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga wins. Close game.
I think they're all going to be close.
I don't think there's any choice, right?
I think they're all going to be close.
Last position type game?
Yes. They'll all be close, and I like Gonzaga.
Well, I got North Carolina versus Gonzaga, which I think that's the obvious choice, being that they're both number one seeds. I don't have as much guts as you do, but you're always right, Coach. So I might live to regret my choices, but I'd like to see North Carolina and Gonzaga going down there, going at it for the national championship on April 3rd. It is on CBS. It'll be in the evening. But, Coach, I want that one to go into overtime.
You're going to take an OT national title?
National title, OT.
I like it.
I always like extra, free ball?
Free basketball.
Free basketball. Well, that's the end of Bracketology 2017. You heard it here. Coach Snow's going with Gonzaga. Coach Abreu's going with North Carolina Tar Heels.